Did somebody come to church today expecting God to move in their lives? I don't know who all of you are. I know a lot of you, but I don't know who all of you are. And I certainly don't know everybody's story. And I definitely don't know anybody's everything. But I know this, that when God created the heavens and the earth and this whole idea of God's, this thing called earth, this thing called mankind, this thing called creation, when it came to being and he thought of us, he thought of you. When God in the beginning said, let us create mankind, at that moment he thought of you. He didn't think of just Adam and Eve, he thought of you as well. Steve or whoever else you are in here, Bill, Jenny, God thought of you, amen, every single one of you. What I love about God is that he at that moment, he saw the world unfold day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, event by event that would lead to your conception, your birth, and the day that you would experience his resurrection power, give your life to Christ. He also saw today. And today he has a plan that you would go to another level in your relationship with God. He wanted you here, amen. You're not just randomly here. God wanted you here that your relationship with him would go to a whole nother level. You know, I don't ever want to be a part of a church that we just come on Sundays to be entertained or to tick a box that says, I attended church today. But I always want to be in a church where I expect God to move. Where I expect him to move my life a little bit further away from the damage and the carnage that I did, that the devil did, and move my life a little bit more in line with his plans for my life. And I love that even as the preacher today, I didn't come to church thinking I'm just going to share some stuff with all those people out there. No, I come to church today saying, God, use me, yes, but God, minister to me too. Amen. I'm going to read the scriptures to you, and after that, we're going to pray that God would move, that God would speak, that God would lead. It's his meeting. Amen. And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. And at Eternity Church, it is our custom, just or habit, whatever. We just like to stay standing for the word of God. So let's go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let me do that again. Jesus said to you all, this then is how you should pray. So ears open, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in my family, in my city, in Des Moines, in my state, in my country, in my land, in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, everything we need. Forgive us our debts, as we've also forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one, in the name of Jesus. Someone say amen. I'm going to pray. Reach out your hands in faith today if you want to receive from God, not just see a guy on stage with a pink jacket on, all right? You want more than that today, amen? And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of standing in your presence. Thank you that the curtain has been torn, that we can walk past it straight into your presence. God, I personally thank you for the privilege that I have to preach your word, to be an ambassador of your word, of your grace and of your mercy to this state, to these people. And I thank you that each and every one of us is able to stand in your presence because you sent your son to make a way for us. We stand here with outstretched arms in surrender to your word, in surrender to your ways, in surrender to your voice, and we ask your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to inspire us, to encourage each and every one of us that we would leave this place closer to you than when we walked in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may take your seats. High five your neighbor. Tell them that welcome to church today. Today we're starting a sermon series on prayer. This then is how you should pray. I thank God for that moment in Scripture. This then is how you should pray. So start a new sermon series today. If you're new here today, welcome to Eternity Church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church along with my wife Lauren. And we really are grateful that you chose to come here today. And we just want to bless you on your way out the door after the service. So please, when you leave the service today and you go out those double black doors down the back there, immediately to your right, you will see a team of people waiting to bless you with one of those welcome tubes, okay? Or welcome tubes, as y'all would say. And so that would be great. So this then is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. There are some powerful truths in this passage. Like, there's some powerful stuff in this passage, all right? You believe me? Yeah. Cool, don't forget to yell at me today, okay? Not only are Jesus' words powerful in here, but his lack of words are powerful too. Even the order and when he said the things he said are really powerful. Now, when you read something like the Lord's Prayer, it's really important to know that this is not a passage that just tells you, you know, this is the exact order in which you to pray, right? Jesus is not saying that God doesn't hear you unless you pray like this, these words in this order. That's not what he's saying. Most importantly, it shows us how easy it is to pray, all right? And it shows us God's heart for us as we pray. And we're going to talk a lot more about prayer over the next week or two or three. But today, before we do that, today I want to destroy the number one reason that people don't pray, or that people feel like they don't have an intimate relationship with God. For some of you who do pray, I want to help you better understand how you should approach God in your prayer life, that you could have a more effective and more powerful, more intimate relationship with God. Does anyone here want to have a regular and effective prayer life? Give me a wave, right? There are some people in here who came and want something today. That's good. Come on, you're in the right place. I want to have a more regular and a more effective prayer life. So I want to show you something powerful that the Lord showed me many years ago. He showed me the thing that destroys the number one reason why people struggle to pray. Now, there's something that most of us do as believers. There's something that most of us do that's out of order. Something that's a little bit different than what Jesus showed us in the Lord's Prayer. And I know, like, I just got done saying, right, that the order in which you pray does not matter. And it doesn't, right? It's not about the order, but it is about the heart and the attitude behind the order that matters. Yeah? And I believe for many of us that we pray in a certain order, not because we like that order or because we find that order easy, but because our belief system is flawed or we have a bad theology of prayer. And today we want to fix that because it affects the way that we approach the Lord. And if we approach him incorrectly or with a wrong attitude or wrong heart, it changes the sorts of things that we ask of God. And for many people, it even stops them from approaching the Lord in prayer at all. And so again, you don't have to pray in a certain order, but if the order in which you pray is because of a thought theology, we need to get that fixed. Amen? Right? We need to deal with that. So our relationship with God is not hindered by a flawed perspective of who God is and how God wants us to approach him. Amen? And so today I want to look at what's missing from how Scripture says that we should approach the Lord. I'm going to read you two passages before I really get fired up. And today I'm sort of taking off the preachy hat and putting on the teachy hat, all right? And it's really hard for me to put on a teachy hat and not get too fired up, all right? But I'm going to try today. So you cool? Oh, yeah. Good. You excited about this? Because I hope you understand that what I'm going to share with you today has the power to revolutionize your prayer life and your relationship with God. Absolutely dynamically change it today. After I got off the stage last night, I got a text from somebody saying, I have always done this. No wonder I've struggled in my relationship with God. After I got off stage this morning, I got a number of texts, a number of Instagram messages or comments, people saying, this is going to revolutionize the way my relationship with God. And so let's get after it, all right? Now, as I read Psalm 100, verses 4 to 5, and as I read the Lord's Prayer again, let's see if you can see what I saw. Let's see if you can see what's missing from our approach to God, because something powerful is missing. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. Come on, because the Lord is good, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. Because his love endures forever, I enter his courts with praise. Because his faithfulness continues through all generations. And now the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts. See, we're going to look at entering his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts, and we're going to look at entering his courts with praise, and all of that's fantastic. I might mention it momentarily today, but we're going to look at all of that next week. All of that, hallowed be thy name, all that, what does that mean as the series continues? But first, I want to look at the on-ramp, all right? I want to look at the on-ramp into prayer. What do you do to set yourself up for an intimate relationship with God? As you begin to pray, how do you start? What do you say? What do you do? We're going to look at what is on the on-ramp and what's not on the on-ramp, because some of you are trying to speed up in your prayer life. You're getting on that on-ramp on the interstate, and you're cruising. You're trying to get gone, but there's a Prius going 5 miles an hour in front of you, and we want to blow that sucker up so you can speed up and have an intimate and powerful and effective relationship with God. Amen? There's a Prius on some people's on-ramps that we need to blow up today. Someone say amen. So let's look at what's in it, what's not in it. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus said, all right? Jesus said to you, this then is how you should pray. And in that, he has us thanking him for allowing us to be in his presence, right? Acknowledging God's great power. Hallowed be thy name. You're incredible. You're mighty. It's amazing. And I'm so grateful and so thankful that I'm even allowed to stand in your presence. That's awesome. And then he has us asking that God would set things right on this earth. Set things right in our cities. Set things right in our state. Set things right in our countries, maybe even in our families, right? Your will be done. Make it right in my family. Make it right in my city. Make it right on this earth like it is in heaven. Amen. Your will be done. We're asking him then, Jesus has us then asking him to provide for us, both physically and spiritually, right? God, help me in my spirit. God, help me in my body. Give me my daily bread, my 3 square meals every single day, and in my spirit too, right? Your will be done. Give us our daily bread. You see what has not happened yet? See, we've acknowledged God's power. We've petitioned God to use that power. We've asked him to provide for us and to do miracles in our lives, but we haven't even addressed the fact that we've sinned yet. And after all that, after all that, you're great. After all that, you're incredible. After all that, you got great power. Could you please use it to fix this earth? After all that, please provide for me. Here's what I need from you. After all that, forgive us our debts. How could I possibly talk to God about his great power and ask him to use it in my life to help me at work before I've even addressed the fact that 35 minutes ago I was lying to my boss? Wow. How could I possibly ask the Lord to bless my day at work before I've even addressed the fact that 15 minutes ago I was raging at the shoe store? And yet in the model that Jesus gave us, we've thanked him, hello, we've praised him, we've worshipped him, we've asked him to help us and provide for us in our lives, and we did all of that before we addressed the fact that we had a fight with somebody about masks, before we addressed the fact that we raged somewhere we shouldn't have raged. Come on, all of that before we've even talked about the fact that we sinned. Hello? Somebody catching it yet? Yet so often when we go to pray, so often when people go to pray, they seem to want to use their sin as the conversation starter with God. Please forgive me for my sins, spoken and unspoken, known and unknown, remembered and forgotten. Lord God, please forgive me. Now here's what I need you to do. Oh, are we getting uncomfortable in here? Because we are messing up some people's prayer theology today. Some of y'all are like, oh, I know it's in the Lord's Prayer, but it's just not what I've been doing my whole life. It doesn't seem right, right? It's uncomfortable. So many people start talking about sin or avoid prayer altogether because they think God isn't listening when we haven't behaved. Or when we haven't ticked all the boxes according to how God actually wants us to live. And yes, God does want us to live a certain way. And yes, God does want us to deal with the sin in our lives. And yes, God will give us the strength and the power to deal with our sin, but it's not in the way. Jesus is telling us that we should boldly enter the throne room of God, thankful that we're even allowed to be there, not because we're sinless, but because the sinless one died on the cross for our sins. Jesus made it possible for us to pray regardless of our behavior. Jesus made it possible for you to pray and have a relationship with God regardless of your behavior. Amen. Because you can't behave your way into God's presence. You can't earn your way into God's kingdom. You can't behave your way into an effective and powerful prayer life. You can't purchase or steal a set of keys to the pearly gates, but you can freely and boldly enter His presence, thankful and grateful that He welcomes you just as you are, because you believe in Jesus in your heart and you confessed Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can boldly walk into His presence, amen, with an attitude that says, I'll change anything you want me to change, but let me talk to you. See, if you keep allowing your sin to keep you out of prayer, you'll never have the power you need to keep yourself out of sin. And over the years, I've spoken to so many people who just don't know how to approach God, and so they simply don't try anymore. I put a thing up on my Instaframagram yesterday asking people, hey, when you pray, who asks for forgiveness right at the start or right after giving thanks? And every single person except for two said that's what they do. Every single person except for two said that they start every single prayer with, God, please forgive me for my sins. They're praying out of order. Hey, out of order is not a problem, right? But the fact that almost every one of us asks for forgiveness at the start of our prayers suggests to me that most of us might have an incorrect theology of prayer. Like that we think we need to be cleansed before God hears us. Or that we think we need to come back into righteousness as if we had left righteousness. So we need to step back into righteousness because it's our righteousness that is the power behind our prayers. But it's Him. Or maybe that tradition and order and box ticking is what motivates God to move on our behalf. And somebody told us that we need to clear our sin before we talk to the Lord, and so we try and tick the box. Jesus might well have not died on the cross if we're going to allow our sin to separate us from God anyway. Right? See, He didn't just die on a cross so you could enter the pearly gates one day. Yippee, made it. No. He wants to have a relationship with you now. Right now, amen. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to love you. He wants to be loved by you. He doesn't want a checklist relationship with you where you're like, all righty then, God, thank you for everything good in my life. Check. Please forgive me for looking at that person with lust in my heart. Check. Please give me a BMW. A bada bing, bada boom. Check. Amen. Right? Right? We got to remember that the curtain that held sin out of the Holy of Holies is torn in half. We're allowed to walk right past it and tell God what's on our hearts right now. Right now. Right now. Did you sin on your way to church? You didn't have to ask for forgiveness to be welcome in the church. You didn't have to ask for forgiveness to be able to lift up your holy hands. Holy, set apart hands. Come on. Let's not let sin control our relationships with God. Don't let sin be your on-ramp to every conversation that you have with God. Sin is not supposed to be the culture or the conversation of your relationship with God. Come on, somebody. I know some of y'all are like, but sin matters. Yes, it matters. Yes, I want to ask God. God, every single thing in my life that does not line up with your word, I want you to change it. I want you to break it off my life. I want you to help me become more like you. But God doesn't want every conversation he has with you to start with, sorry for this, sorry for this, sorry for this, sorry for this. Sorry, I coughed without putting my elbow up here properly. Sorry for this. Sorry, I don't believe in vaccines. Sorry, I do believe in vaccines. Sorry, I said that I don't believe in vaccines. Sorry, I said I don't believe in vaccines. Sorry, this. So, no, God doesn't want that kind of conflicted relationship with you every single day. Imagine a husband and a wife that before you ever got dinner, you had to go back like, oh, I'm starving, hungry, but, I'm so sorry that I left without saying goodbye in the morning. Hey, baby, please forgive me for the things I remember and don't remember. Can I have some dinner? What kind of crappy relationship is that? Right? Imagine a child whose bedroom is on fire and they can't ask for help until they say sorry for throwing a rock at their sister in the morning. Daddy, 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 it's hot! Are you sorry yet? No, come on, what does that say about that kid's relationship with their father? Come on, that's not the relationship that God wants to have with you. That's not it. That's not the way I'm supposed to approach God. God, my room's on fire, but since I remembered, I forgot this one and that one, and I said that over there, and I looked at the woman in the red dress, and blah, 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 blah. I love the story of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood, two people inconveniencing each other. Jesus is teaching and suddenly a guy named Jairus interrupts and says, yo, my baby girl is so sick, she is this close to dying. Would you please come and help? Jesus says, on it now. On it like white on rice. Let's go. Right? And he's on his way to help the little girl and a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And what it's talking about is this is a woman who had her period for 12 years straight, no gap at all, right? 12 years straight, she touches him and Jesus heals her. We'll talk about why you needed to know why she was bleeding in a moment, all right? But these people, they both needed something from Jesus at that exact moment. When Jairus came and asked Jesus to heal his daughter, he didn't say, have you cleansed yourself from your sin before speaking to me, you filthy little bugger? No. He loved his boldness and his faith, and he said, on it like white on rice. Come on. The bleeding woman, unclean. See, here's why you need to know why she was bleeding, all right? Because in Old Covenant law, in Old Testament law, somebody with their period was unclean. Can you imagine being unclean for 12 years straight? Not allowed near anybody, filthy to touch, filthy to look at, filthy to be near. That woman, unclean, like so many of us feel like we are unclean, boldly walked up to Jesus and touched him. And he healed her. Instantly. Instantly healed her. I'm going to pause that story and we'll get back there. Every night, Lauren and I, we say our kids' prayers. We call them the goodnight prayers. Every single night, we say their goodnight prayers. Even when we're away, we try to call every night and we try to pray for them. And, you know, even if we're in like Australia, we try and get the time zones right and we try to make the change. You know, back when you used to be allowed to travel in this world, you know, remember that? back before Australia was communist and won't let anyone in or out. Sorry, I said that, didn't I? If you want to know the rest of my opinions, they're on my Instagram. So, have fun. But back to the important story. I only mock policy, not people, all right? And so, even when we're away, right, we try and tee up to get the time right, the time zone shift right, to talk to our children. And I remember one time, though, we weren't away, we were at home, and Lauren and I were having this massive big blow-up, right, this huge fight, right? It was a big fight. Like, Lauren was crying, you know, like, you're the devil. And I'm like, stop emotionally manipulating me with your tears, you know? Like, typical, like, woman, man fighting, right? Come on, y'all know what I'm saying, right? She cries and you're like, yeah, emotional blackmail, you know? And you know, like, but I was wrong. She was crying because I was a moron, all right? Like, and you ever have one of those fights where, like, you're having a big fight and your wife and it's just usually us dudes and we'll do all right. But sometimes, you know, I don't know, maybe sometimes women realize halfway through a fight that they're wrong. Did you know that it takes a lot of courage for a man to admit to his wife when she's wrong? And, you know that's true, by the way. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I was wrong. And you know when you're in the middle of a fight, come on, husbands and wives, you know when you're in the middle of a fight and it's getting heated and all of a sudden you realize, oh, crap, I'm wrong? But you're like, but who cares about the truth? All that matters is winning this fight, right? Come on. Yeah, there's some righteous people in here. They're like, oh, no, not me. Shut up. You know it. Come on. Right, like this was one of those fights where I know I was wrong, right? I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. I was being arrogant. I was refusing to listen to my wife, and I knew it was my fault. We're sitting there, and I had not yet apologized because it takes a while sometimes when I realize I'm wrong to come back and be like, all right, fine, I was wrong. You know, like it takes a while because that's how you do it if you don't give it enough time sometimes. And I'm still in that moment where I'm like, you know. And then one of my kids comes downstairs, and they're like, Daddy, Daddy. You forgot to pray for us. And you forgot our good night prayers. You know, they're completely unoblivious of their parents' stupidity downstairs, you know. Daddy, you forgot to pray for us. So I'm walking up those stairs, and I don't know if you've ever had one of these trips up the stairs where you're like, I had better to pray my way up these stairs before I pray for those kids. Anyone else? Right? You're like, there ain't no way God's going to listen to this prayer after the way I've been carrying on downstairs. Anybody else know what I'm saying, right? You're like, I got to pray a pre-prayer before I can pray the prayer, right? And I'm on my way up the stairs, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. I'm up in my head. And as I was walking up those steps, as clear as day, God smacked me in my heart. Jesse, do you really believe that I will not answer your prayers? Jesse, do you really believe that I won't protect your children as they sleep because you didn't ask for forgiveness before you prayed? Do you really believe I won't bless your children because you didn't ask me to forgive your arrogance before you prayed? Is that what I did to Jairus? Did I make him repent and name every single sin before he asked me to heal his daughter? Is that what I did to the blind man? Did I make him name all his sins before I made him brand new eyes out of mud? Come on. Did I ask the demon-possessed boy to renounce his sin before I answered his parents' prayers to bring freedom to their son's life? Did I make Adam and Eve say sorry before I made them loincloths to cover their shame? Church, do you really believe that God doesn't hear the first half of your prayer till you've said, forgive me? Do you really believe that God can't hear a prayer that comes out of a person with sin? If that's true, how could a sinner ever repent if God's ears are deaf to the sound of a sinner's voice? Confess with your mouth. Why? You can't hear me anyway, right? But the curtain has been torn. The curtain has been torn so that we can walk past the separation, so we can boldly walk into God's presence knowing that our righteousness comes from Christ, not from our behavior. Right. So if you're in sin this morning, if you are in sin, if you're in sin tomorrow morning, and then you're driving around at lunchtime and you think of something that you need God to do in your life, you need to ask Him right then. But wait, you're driving around and you're like, I've got another meeting coming up. I need to want to pray for that. But blah, 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 blah. Did I do this? Did I do that? Yep. Okay, good. I'm good enough now. You're not good enough to be in God's presence because you behaved. You're good enough to be in God's presence because He sent His Son to die on a cross to call you righteous. Amen. Ask Him for what you need when you need it. Ask Him for peace in your next meeting. Ask Him for healing from your headache, even if your headache came from getting way too much grog in your stomach last night. Grog, alcohol, sorry. From being a drunkard. Ask Him for joy, even if the joy and your even if the sorrow came from your own bad decisions. That's right. Even if it's your own fault, ask Him for joy. Ask Him for healing. Does the sin matter? Does it need to be overcome? Absolutely. You will live a better life if you live life according to the Word of God. Absolutely. But it's going to be in God's presence. It's going to be in a relationship with God that you find the strength to overcome your sin. Imagine if you're on the phone with a friend and they bring up the fact that they have a sick child. They're like, I have a sick child. They're like Jairus. They're like, I have a sick child. She is, she's very unwell and she's moments from death. Would you please pray with me right now over the phone? And you're like, let's go. Ah, no, stop. Give me 10 minutes. Because earlier I was thinking about the woman in the red dress. Let me deal with that first. Just pray for the sick kid. Right then, right there, just pray for that sick kid. God, by your stripes we are healed. That's what your Bible says. So I pray in the name of Jesus that this sick kid be healed. Come on. Our prayers are powerful and effective because our righteousness is not tied to our behavior. So when I pray, yeah, I do enter His gates with thanksgiving in my hearts. And I do acknowledge His great power. Hallowed be thy name. You're awesome, God. Thank you. I do ask Him for help in my family, in my church, and in my cities. And I do ask Him for provision in my life. I ask Him to provide for my kids, to protect my kids. I ask Him to provide for my wife. I ask Him to provide for our church. It's His vision, so I'm sort of saying, God, you gave us a vision. We're counting on you for the provision as well. And I ask for what I want. I talk to Him about what's bothering me. It's not always what I want. Here's something that's really bothering me. Honestly, every time I'm near this person or that person, I want to stab them. And I'm pretty sure you don't want me to do that. I'm asking for your help with that whole thing, you know. Come on, I do ask Him for what I want. I do talk to Him about what's on my heart. I do pray continually, like Scripture says, bringing my prayers and petitions before the Lord. And so can you, even if, like in the Matrix, you were thinking about the woman in the red dress 5 minutes beforehand. Because here's the thing. The same grace that allows me to have a relationship with God, even when I still sin sometimes, is the same grace that motivates me to ask Him and thank Him for forgiveness as well, and is the same grace that helps me fix my life. See, that's the beautiful thing about it, right? Instead of trying to get my life fixed and forgiven so I can pray and have a relationship with God, it is my relationship with God that gets my life fixed. Some of y'all need to flip the script. You gotta flip the script. You've been going to God using your sin and your struggle as your sin and your brokenness as the on-ramp. It's time to flip the script. Flip it. And yes, by the way, every day, I do talk to the Lord probably at least once a day about my sin, because I do want to leave His presence and I do want to leave this day better than I came into it. So I ask him and I thank him for forgiving all my sins, the ones I remember and the ones I forgot. But then I ask him to help me not land in them anymore. Amen. To help me not get stuck in them anymore. To lead me from temptation. See, when sin is the topic or the conversation starter of every prayer, you're immediately just like, oh, you know, like how hard is it to ask God to pray an ambitious prayer 3 seconds after asking him to forgive you for looking at porn? Hear what I'm saying? God does not want your sin to be the on-ramp to every single conversation you have with the Lord. If sin is the on-ramp, you just start every prayer like you're feeling like you're unworthy, forgetting that you're righteous because he said you're righteous. Absolutely, I have an attitude in every single prayer and every single day and every single time I read the word that says, God, I'm willing to change anything you speak to me about. And every day when I realize some sin that I've done, you know, yeah, I'm going to ask you for your help to overcome that. But my relationship with God is not controlled by my sin. But my sin is controlled by my relationship with God. Now, next week, I'm going to talk to you all about thanksgiving and praise and all of that and the power of thanksgiving in your life and the power of praise in your prayer life. And we're going to do all that. But today, y'all need to flip the script. Sin can come up in your prayer. It doesn't have to. It's time to start thanking God and start asking him for help. Because listen to me, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you are righteous. Yes, you are righteous. And according to the word of God, the prayers of the righteous ones are powerful and effective. If you don't ask me, just ask the Liska family, Anna's family. Are they here? Give me a wave if you're a Liska. There he is, Officer Liska. Are the prayers of the righteous ones powerful and effective? Amen. Do y'all see us put on Instagram, all the staff, like a bit of an urgency? Pray for Anna, pray for Anna, pray for Anna. Y'all see that all the time, yeah? And y'all want to know what that is? That man was like Jairus. My daughter is very unwell and nearing death. I need a miracle. And people prayed, and God heard, and God moved. And that man's daughter is alive, and she is home. And it might not have made sense the whole way to the doctors, but God is good, and God hears your prayers. Amen. God hears your prayers. Come on, let's thank God for Anna's life right now. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. When he rang, or when he texted, I wasn't like, oh, crap, God, let me think. God's not going to ignore his daughter because I did something wrong for a moment. That's not the relationship that God wants to have with you. You need to flip the script. Let your relationship with God destroy your sin. Stop letting your sin destroy your relationship with God. Walk past that bloody curtain today in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what will happen if a bunch of believers stop letting their sin hold them back from prayer. I wonder what would happen if a bunch of believers just start praying and just start talking to God. Scripture says pray continually, bringing your prayers and petitions before the Lord. I'm confident he's not like, hey, all day, every day, keep going like, hey, God, sorry for that one. Okay, hey, God, sorry for that one. You know there are believers out there that think that if they get hit by a bus 3 seconds after sinning that they're going to hell? Man, there's like a 4 minute window every day where I won't go to hell. Like, man, I hope it happens there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And don't say, oh, you're soft on sin. No, I'm not. Sin will suck the life out of you. It will. We need to deal with it. We need to listen when God speaks to us about our sin. And we need to put the work in with His strength and with His courage, with His power when He speaks to us about that. But I'm done. I was done years ago letting sin keep me from the presence of God. I want to encourage you, maybe the next three times you pray, don't even mention your sin. This might be the first time you've had a pastor say that to you. The next three times you pray, don't even mention your sin. And then maybe on the fourth time, be like, and God, just forgive me for my sins, known and unknown. The ones I remember like this and the ones I don't, because I'm not that great at remembering everything I've done wrong. And just ask for your forgiveness. And God, I ask for your help. And here's a particular area of my life that I know you want me to work on right now. And you've been talking to me about my anger. So God, would you really help me to have more peace and to have more joy and to be kinder, you know? Like, absolutely do that. But I want to encourage you next three times, don't even mention your sin. So that you can give yourself some strength to flip the script. Now, why three times and then different on the fourth? Well, if you study the Word of God and you study that word three and that word four, you'll find it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I just like the number three. I think it seems like a good start, that's all. It's not super spiritual about the number. It just seems like a good start. So I'm issuing that challenge to people out there who have let their sin get in the way of their relationship with God. Don't even mention it for the next three times you pray. They might be all today. For me, the next three times I pray will be today. You know, and then address it in the next one so that your relationship with God is not built on a foundation of sin, but on a foundation of His grace and mercy and the fact that the curtain was torn. Can someone say amen? Amen. Would you all mind standing up with me right now? Is that a good word for you today? I for real believe it's going to revolutionize your prayers. Can I tell you, God did not raise Analiska up out of the hospital because a bunch of people stopped sinning. God raised Analiska up out of the hospital because a bunch of people prayed. That's what did it. Amen. Man, some of y'all, this is a mind blow for you. I know it was for me all those years ago. There's some people in here. I'm going to pray for y'all in a minute that God would give you this, that God would help your mind shift. Because yeah, I think your soul knows that it's meant to be in relationship with God, but I think your mind gets in the way, you know? And, you know, that justice mind that we have, and, you know, we need to pay the price for our sins. And I think that gets in the way of our relationship with God, and it's our relationship with God that gives us the power to actually get rid of the sin. And so I'm going to pray for y'all that God would help you flip that script in your mind, okay? And then I'm going to pray for everybody that God would put a fire for prayer in your hearts, because I believe that it's a fire of prayer in people's hearts that's going to birth a revival in your spirit. And you know, we all talk about these great revivals, but all that's going to start when there's a revival in your spirit, in your walk with the Lord, and then there'll be a revival in your family. And then there'll be a revival in your kids' schools and in your workplace and in your church and in your city, amen. But it all starts with God putting a fire in your heart for prayer and intimacy with God. And so we're going to do all that. But before we do that, I want to pray for people that don't know Jesus. And so I'm going to spend a couple of minutes talking to you about that today. And we've actually talked about a lot of things this morning that hopefully have shown you that you're welcome in God's house. I talked about how sin doesn't separate us from God anymore, and it definitely doesn't stop God from hearing you pray, that's for sure. But it does stop you from having a relationship with God if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. It does affect you in that way. And so you need to actually accept Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross for you to experience the freedom that comes with a relationship with God, okay? And so what I want to encourage you to do today is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That Jesus is Lord and He rose from the dead, you will be saved, okay? And so what that's doing is that's you saying, all right, I know God paid the price for my sin. I know God tore the curtain so that I can have an intimate relationship with God where He'll move on my behalf. What I now need, though, is to accept Him in my life. And then when you do that, Scripture says that God calls you righteous. Now, what's that mean? See, God calls you righteous. That means, have you ever heard of beer goggles? You know, anyone ever heard of that? Like, hey, don't get drunk, by the way. It's seriously not good for you. If you do, you're welcome in church. You know what I mean? You are welcome in the house of God. But you need not do that. No one, like, the next day says, I made some great decisions when I was drunk, you know. And so don't do that. But there is a thing called beer goggles where everything looks better with beer, you know. Well, Jesus has crimson goggles, right? Where everybody looks better when they accept the blood of Jesus in their lives. And the second we give our lives to Christ, he looks at us through these Jesus goggles, these cross goggles, these blood of Jesus goggles. You hear what I'm saying? And the second you give your life to Christ, he sees you through these new lenses called righteousness. He says, you are righteous now because you gave your life to Christ. You are righteous because you believe in my Son and you've made him the Lord and Savior of your life. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And so at that moment, he says, you're righteous. But scripture says you've got to believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And then you'll be able to experience that incredible relationship with God where he will help you, where he will guide you, where he will give you wisdom, where he will give you strength, where he will give you favor, and where he will bless your life and help it become the life he originally designed for you to live. And he originally designed a blessed life, a hope-filled life, a joy-filled life, a healed life for you. So would you please pray this prayer with me? Everyone in the room and everyone online, pray it together with me so that nobody's praying it alone. Every single person, so no one's praying alone, but especially those who are away from God. Repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive all that. I receive your forgiveness for my sin, and I receive this brand new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask for your help to live this life the way you designed it. Guide me, speak to me, help me to overcome the things that hold me back, the things that aren't of you, because I want to live my life the way you designed it. I give you my life. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.